Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for the fifth Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Old Testament reading of Jeremiah. And the prophet Jeremiah said, "The prophets who preceded you and me from ancient times prophesied war, famine, and pestilence against many countries and great kingdoms. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the word of that prophet comes to pass, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." In the name of Jesus. People don't like doom and gloom preachers. They would much rather prefer the preacher that preaches wealth and health and prosperity, a chicken in every pot, a puppy dog on every pillow. That's what people like to hear. That's what you like to hear. Well, maybe that's not fair. I don't know your heart. So let me just say it this way. That's what I like to hear. And it makes sense. Because who likes to hear about bad things? All of the bad things that are going to happen. I would much rather just hear about all the good things that are on the horizon. The economy, it's in perfect shape. The vaccine, that'll stop the spread. The next election, it'll turn out as smooth as we could ever hope to imagine. But maybe all those things are too general. So let's talk about specifics. The sinner in me doesn't like to hear that I'm a sinner. I would much rather hear that I'm a pretty good person. I would much rather hear that the sins that I commit are really justified. So they're not actually sins at all. And it's always the other person's fault whenever I find myself at odds with someone. I want to hear that the things that I do or the things that I've left undone don't really have any real consequences for me or for anyone else for that matter. And finally, and most importantly, I want to hear that God is good with me based upon my own merit, based upon my own worthiness, that he smiles upon me because of the works of my own hands, that he's happy with me no matter how I live my life, just as long as I'm true to myself. That's what I like to hear. And maybe you know what I'm talking about. And if that's what you like to hear, well, the prophet Hananiah is the prophet for you. In our text for this morning, Hananiah, he's pitted himself against Jeremiah. And if you know anything about Jeremiah, you know that he isn't that happy-go-lucky prophet that we would all love. He's more like the Debbie Downer character from Saturday Night Live in the 90s, who always ruins everything by bringing up something awful and bad. So much so is he that Debbie Downer that at this point in our text, Jeremiah has literally been wandering around with a giant wooden yoke around his neck, speaking before the new king and the priests and all the people, letting them know that God has some pretty weighty stuff in line for them because of their sin. Think of what he's doing as street theater, where his actions meet up with his words and everything about him speaks of sorrow and woe. And Jeremiah, he goes on to explain that that yoke, that stands for Babylon. And Babylon has already come down and defeated the people of God once, taking away their king and a lot of other people into exile. Jeremiah, he makes it known that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, has only been able to do this because he is God's appointed tool of judgment. God sent him. And since Babylon has been appointed by God to dole out judgment because of the sin of God's people, it would be best if those people would just accept that burden and not try and buck off the yoke. For bucking off the yoke is tantamount to bucking God. And let me tell you, God doesn't like to be bucked. But you know as well as I do, people don't like to hear that. We don't like to hear about the real and temporal consequences of our actions. We don't like it when God's law comes crashing down upon us because we're sinners. And because then it causes us pain and sorrow. We want to get out from underneath that yoke as quickly as possible, telling God that he doesn't know what he's doing, or letting him know that he just isn't being fair. It's actually better if we just let God's law do its work upon us, showing us that we are sinners and showing us that we do deserve exactly what we get. But who among us likes to do that? So along comes Hananiah, telling Jeremiah that he's wrong. And then he makes this bold claim that it's really him, Hananiah, who is the true prophet of God. And he even makes a more outrageous claim that he's been sent by God to go up to Babylon and make them pay for all the stuff that they've done. And he's going to bring back all the stolen vessels of the house of the Lord. He's going to bring back the exiles too. And to show everyone that he is who he says he is, Hananiah takes the yoke from Jeremiah and he breaks it in two. Well, as you can imagine, everyone loves this. And why wouldn't they? I would much rather hear from Hananiah than Jeremiah, but maybe that's just me. So Jeremiah, he comes and he stands before Hananiah and the priests and all the people, and he says something extraordinary. He agrees with Hananiah, or at least he sort of does. That's what we actually get to hear in our Old Testament reading for today. He says, "May the Lord make the words that you have prophesied come true. May you be right. May I be wrong. May this judgment and punishment upon us not actually be from God, and may he avenge us tenfold for what's happened to us. But there have been other prophets who have proclaimed the same things that I have. You remember them, Isaiah and Micah. And what they said came true. And in fact, Moses did tell us, way back in the book of Deuteronomy, that there is only one real way to distinguish between a false prophet and a true prophet. The one whose words come true is the true prophet of God. Therefore, Jeremiah says, when the word of the prophet who prophesies peace comes true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent that prophet. Now, I know all of this might be a little bit confusing, but it's not as hard to understand as we might think. To make it a little simpler, perhaps we should just really think of this in terms of law and gospel. When God proclaims his law to us, the first thing that we want to do is plug our ears to it. After all, who among us likes to hear that we're sinners? And who among us likes to admit that the wages of such sin actually brings death? No one likes to hear this sort of stuff. No one likes to hear that we are sinners in general, and certainly no one likes to hear that we are sinners in specific, meaning that no one likes to hear their actual sin to be named a sin. And whatever sin that might be, think of it right now. You don't have to tell me, but think of all the things that you do that you hate to admit are actually sinful. What do you then do when God calls them sin? Now, again, I'm not going to speak for you. I don't know your heart, like I said before. But as for me, I like to disagree with God. I like to justify myself and all of my actions. And if I'm finally trapped into that corner, I want to be the one who gets myself out. I don't look for forgiveness from God or from my neighbor that I've sinned against. Instead, I just look for a way to break the yoke of God's law that's been placed upon me around my shoulders so that I can smugly walk around with my head held high and be my own prophet of peace. Except the problem is that peace never comes. No matter how hard I try or how much I want to convince myself of it. So I guess I'm not really a prophet of peace after all. And then what follows is always another stronger, mightier, bigger yoke upon me. But God won't let the confident sinner remain confident. So he sends Jeremiah with another word. And so Jeremiah starts acting like one of those buskers down there on Pearl Street again. And he's bearing a yoke, another one, upon his shoulder to show the people that God and his law won't be mocked. But this time, it's not a wooden yoke that Hananiah or anyone else can break. This time, it's a yoke of iron. And Jeremiah, he has another word for Hananiah. He says this, "By the end of this year, you will be dead." It's all he says. And then he just sits there and waits. And remember, the word of a true prophet comes true, and wouldn't you know it, at the last verse in chapter 28 of our text finds Hananiah dead. And nothing more said. Nothing more needs to be said. The true prophet has been revealed. But all of that, then, kind of leaves us in a pretty sad and dark place, doesn't it? I don't want to be left with the yoke of God's law weighing heavy about me. You probably feel the same way. But there it hangs, nonetheless. And try as we might to get that yoke off of us, it never really actually leaves. We aren't good enough. We're not strong enough, no matter what we might think or pretend to be. No matter how many times we try and prophesy peace, peace never comes. Not when we think it's going to come through us. Better to just sit under that yoke and let God's law do its work. As long as we try and buck it off, it'll only become tighter and heavier. But Jeremiah, he's not all doom and gloom. In fact, the last words from our text for today offer us a glimpse, actually more than just a glimpse, of the gospel. Now, yes, initially those words are all law, and they do weigh heavy. When the words of the prophet who prophesies peace comes to pass, then we'll know that a true prophet has arrived. Well, the prophet of peace is in us. And how do we know that to be true? Because the peace that we wish to bring never actually shows up. But God doesn't leave the sinner to wallow in his sin, not after the law has actually done its job of breaking and killing that sinner. Because there is another prophet who does prophesy peace, and he isn't like Hananiah or any of the other false prophets out there that we read in the scriptures, and he isn't like you. And he isn't like me, who like to prophesy peace by pretending that God's law and by pretending that our sin isn't real. No, he's a prophet, unlike any other, who prophesies peace and then actually makes that peace a reality. But his peace does come with a price. Jesus Christ, he comes bursting onto that scene. God in the flesh is the only one who can actually take Jeremiah's last words from our text and make them a reality. And so he takes the yoke that Jeremiah talks about, the one that he wears around to show people God's law. Jesus takes that yoke that's hung around your neck as well, the one that buries your face in the ground under its weight, the one that you can't for the life of you remove from your own shoulders. Jesus takes that yoke, the sin that burdens you to the point of death. He even takes death itself. And he takes the yoke of God's law that names you a sinner. He takes all of that from you. And then he places that yoke upon himself. And yes, it's another wooden yoke in the shape of a cross this time, though. And an iron yoke in the form of nails and spears. And he wears that yoke. And he bears that burden. And he receives the full and weighty wrath of God and his law. And he makes all of it his own. And then this prophet prophesies peace. Finally, peace, real peace, true peace, a peace that actually matters, a peace that doesn't pretend that sin isn't real, but instead actually forgives it. A peace that doesn't leave the sinner in the grave, but instead actually raises him from that grave. A peace that doesn't allow the demons to torment you with your sin, but instead tells them to be silent because their words aren't true and bear no truth before God. There is peace in him, in Christ, in Jesus, in God made flesh, a peace which you and I can't bring to ourselves because we're too burdened by our sin and by our yoke. But he took our yoke off of us. He replaced it with forgiveness and life and eternal salvation. And how do you know? How do you know that he's a true prophet and the words of peace he prophesies are real and that they're actually for you? Because the cross is real. His death is real. The empty tomb is real. The words of forgiveness that you hear today are real. Your baptism into his death and resurrection, that's real. The bread of his body and the wine of his blood that you're about to receive, that's real. Have no fear of the yoke of your sin any longer. The true prophet who prophesies peace has come, and he's come for you. The cross is your proof. The empty grave is too. So are his word and his sacraments. Don't look for peace in yourself or in any other place other than Christ your Lord. You're not going to find it anywhere but him. In the name of Jesus.